Hello, and welcome to the No Countouts Pod. I'm your host, Matt Dahlberg. Joined with me is Tyler Pearson. You can follow us at Twitter at Twitter handle right this time. It's m_broski21. And if you can find Tyler Pearson through my mumble and jumble, it is t_pearson10 for the numbers 10, the letters F. Oh, you are. How is that, Tyler? Is that getting better?
You were too eager to get into it that you jumped the gun. It'd be funny if I was attached to you and not just with you.
Oh, man.
Kind of hard to be attached to you so many states away.
Yeah. But we are attached to theclockersports.com. That's a great segue. Oh, way to go. We are on Twitter. You can find them on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter. We also have a show handle as well. That's the No Countouts Pod. Is there underscores and spaces in there as well?
Nope. That is all mumble jumble mashed together.
All right. Well, another good week of wrestling. A lot of cool storylines, a couple of teases, lots to get over. You want to start us by recapping a little bit?
Yeah. So we last actually recorded on Monday, right after the horror show at Extreme Rules. So on Monday, they had a bit of a resolution to the Raw Women's Championship fiasco. You had the return of Stephanie McMahon to television, who she clearly recorded kind of like the Money in the Bank cameo. It was from her home, maybe a hallway, maybe her home office, but you had Stephanie McMahon on TV, which if it's, you know, if she makes like a quarterly appearance, I'm fine with that. I just can't have her starting off every episode for 20 minutes again. But she came out and announced, since Sasha didn't actually win, and since Asuka didn't win either, they're just finishing up the match, basically, tomorrow night at time of recording. And if there's... Bayley cannot get involved in any way. There cannot be any outside interference. So there must be a winner, which they love to use. But I feel like somehow there won't, either there is a weird non-finish again, or this is finally the time they write somebody off that we've been talking about a month now. Since episode 2, I think, we've been talking about the eventual departure of Kairi Sane.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that might get tied into this somehow. So they had that on Raw. That was kind of the main story of Raw. You had Seth Rollins attack Aleister Black's hand. You had a very intuitive title change for the 24/7 championship. You had MVP call out the 24/7 champion to the ring. He was out there doing the Hurt Business thing with Bobby, and R-Truth came out thinking, you know, because he's the 24/7, 7-Eleven, 365.
He's called it everything. Didn't he call it the hardcore championship at one point?
Yeah. Like 24/7, 7-Eleven, 365 hardcore. The Saskatchewan Heavyweight International title.
The women's title, I think.
Anything you would call it. But yeah, he comes out and MVP said, "I'm sorry, I said the 24/7 champion. And you had Shelton Benjamin make an appearance, which I always love, because what could have been with that man? But yet Shelton Benjamin come out, lay out R-Truth, become the new 24/7 champion, and has taken up a role in the Hurt Business. So you have an actual stable here. Quick little side note about the Hurt Business, because they were shown backstage with Ron Simmons. Damn! Sorry, it's just a natural reaction.
Yeah, you have to. That's not Farouk, that is Ron Simmons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you had him in being shown with MVP and Bobby Lashley. And reportedly, apparently, it was pitched and it was in the works of a reformation of the Nation of Domination. But someone in the writing staff, which I don't actually hate, suggested maybe with everything going on, you shouldn't have a heel group like that right now. So that kind of got the kibosh put on it, but they did kind of, just last week, Thor teaser at that with Farouk. But they had that, so you have Shelton Benjamin in there, and there's still the pitch for Cedric as well. So that is interesting to see. But I've just been calling this thing the Minority Report to myself, because that's what Vince has just kind of gathered everybody up in. One segment, don't got to worry about y'all. That's it. I'm not a fan of that, but that's kind of what it's felt like. I mean, you have just about, with the exception of Garza and Andrade and Rey, you have every person of color on the male roster and Raw in that little storyline. Apollo Crews, Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, MVP, Bobby Lashley, and now Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, it used to be the the tag team division that unfortunately was the minority segment. Now we've shifted to a different. I don't know if this is an upgrade or whatever, but you're right.
A mid-card stable, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it is good to see. Apparently, MVP has been in negotiations for a long-term contract apparently because of this. Mm-hmm. He came out and said that it was just going to be a producer role. Then they had him do an MVP segment. Then he stopped producing and started doing more in ring stuff. And now he's looking for a contract, which kudos to him. He parlayed this to another deal. And Ray, you know, the contract stuff is still out there with Ray. You know, we'll see what happens with that. They're still hopeful. But yeah, Raw has got a lot of stuff going on. You have Dolph and Drew still going at it. I feel like Dolph might end up in another career match here, because Drew said that he'll give him another title shot, but he's going to withhold the stipulation until right before the match starts, which is going to be this upcoming Monday on Raw. So I honestly feel like he's going to say, I want your career, and it's going to be a Claymore, and that's going to be it, and Dolph's going to be gone.
So you don't think it's going to be a hair versus hair match? Both those men have very luxurious locks.
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, we have seen short-haired Dolph from the Spirit Squad.
Oh, yeah.
With the little spikes. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be that. I stated before we started recording that, you know, it's no secret that Nick Nemeth has been in wants to really get into comedy and has kind of dabbled into acting, I believe, a little bit. So it'd be a good chance for him to do that.
Was he in one of the Seven Marine movies, or didn't he take?
I'm sure.
No, that was Miz, or I don't know.
they were what? The first one was John. Then I think the second one was Randy.
Oh, Randy and Miz. Miz
for a couple.
Holy cow! I can't keep up. Miz
was in one. Shawn Michaels was in one. Dolph may have been in one. It's very possible.
Oh my gosh! All right, sorry to get you off on that tangent. That's WWE in movies.
That's about it for Raw. The one other thing was the spot of the week.
Yeah.
Montez Ford's frog splash. Did you see it?
I have not seen it, but knowing the Street Profits, they're a lot like Private Party, where they set up the greatest spots that take so much creativity and a lot of risk.
This was simple. This was very simple. Off the turnbuckle, it's just that when he tucked for the frog splash, he turned his body 90 degrees because who did he hit it on? I believe he hit it on Garza. Garza wasn't lined up the normal way. So instead of being perpendicular, he was, you know, parallel with him.
Uh-huh.
So when he tucked, he turned and then extended, and he got so much. I mean, Montez always gets really high on his frog splashes, but he got exceptionally up there with this time. And then it was the turn on the tuck that kind of blew everybody away, because he changed directions midair, which if you watch a dunk contest, it people can do that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently not in wrestling. So he got up there so high. But he turned on the tuck and then stretched out super flat. He may have the best frog splash in the business right now.
It's so good. I mean, Orange Cassidy, I wouldn't say it's a frog splash, more of a tadpole splash where
but you go in like a as an athletic feat to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's up there. And then that's just about Raw. AEW, you had an actual episode of Dynamite, not a special byline.
So it should have been a boring show then, right?
No.
I tease. I watched this very, very closely.
Arguably had the single best show since the quarantine era. from either brand.
I think that actually is a really good point, because we had, man, just so many good matches, stories, and
you want to get into how it started.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. So how about you get us started?
All right, so Cody got the jobber entrance to start.
He did.
Which I didn't expect, considering, you know, it's his show, basically. And it really has been with the TNT Open Challenge. Mm-hmm. It has been the Cody Road Show. Sorry, the Cody Show. But before anything could really get started, he's cut off by a man with a mic that's off screen. And it was teased by John Moxley before the episode that any hardcore fans or any fans that are really into the indies, and I admit, I wasn't too familiar with this man. I've known of him. I've seen some stuff, but I'm deep on some indie people, not so much this man. Cody was cut off by Eddie Kingston. Mm-hmm. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more on Eddie Kingston?
Sure thing. So not everybody is familiar with Eddie Kingston. He's been wrestling for a very long time, close to 2 decades, if not more, at least on the quote unquote major circuit of the indies. He will wrestle anywhere and everywhere. He worked with Chikara for the better part of a decade, which everybody knows is more of a comic book style wrestling, very less violent. But he'll also go to the other end of the spectrum, which is more of his, I guess his modern brand of violence. He did the ICW No Holds Barred show, Volume 3, which was actually was the same show that we had our special guest Akira on. So, you know, the show's got some connections. But basically,
in general, are there any holds normally barred in ICW anyways?
Listen, man, it's just a brand name. I'm not getting a question. But the deathmatch drive-in, I can never say that name right. You got to see Eddie Kingston with chains around the ring for ropes and, you know, no pads, no turnbuckles, light tubes, all that stuff. So he can, not only is he a great deathmatch fighter, he is a really, really good wrestler. Chikara doesn't bring in subpar wrestlers, and he is one of the best.
He's also a really, really, really good talker.
Yeah, that's him. That's not a character. He is very, I don't know if I can use some of the ways he describes himself, but he describes it as street or ghetto or, you know, just uncouth for the finer gentleman at home.
I had heard someone describe him as, he looks like what an independent wrestler is supposed to look like. Mm. 40, he's not exactly cut like your normal wrestler, like your picture of a wrestler would be. You know, he's got a bit of a double chin.
Yeah.
And he's got a thick, thick New York accent.
And he is the epitome of a tough guy, both in the ring and out. He will curse you out and knock you down.
You had thumbtacks in the first hour of AEW Dynamite this week, which I'm all here for. Mm-hmm. I understand, and I did do a little bit of research. You also got a little bit more notoriety in the UK scene as well.
He was on Impact or TNA. I don't remember what it is at the time, but he has TV experience too. So he's not a flash in the pan. People respect his talent.
No, he's been around for a minute, and he will talk trash you and beat you up and tell you how he's beating you up, which I certainly love.
So this match that Cody had with Eddie Kingston was so brutal. And I don't just mean like Cody took a lot of damage and Eddie took a lot of damage. The selling, especially on Eddie Kingston's part, that knee, everything he did, he feigned the knee. And it so believable. Because a guy of that, you know, experience is going to have knee problems, especially with the type of matches he does. And it affected him.
I have knee problems way earlier than I should in my life right now. And that really hit home when he started selling that knee. Mm-hmm. And there was a chop block that Cody hit towards the end of that match that I cringed watching. That was really, really good selling. So it was so brutal because it was an ODQ match. Mm-hmm. Eddie Kingston, while cutting a very passionate promo, and mentioned that he talked to Cody's best friend, Tony Khan, and said, all Cody has to do is agree to an ODQ match. And of course, Cody being the tough guy he is, showing the last little bit of babyface that's still in him, mm-hmm. that of course he'll accept the ODQ match. But one thing we did, we talked about a lot last week. One thing we really didn't touch on so much because there was so much to cover was the Sunny Kiss and Cody match.
Absolutely.
TNT Championship. One thing I thought was questionable. Mm-hmm. I loved it because it was Sunny living his best life, but the little cheerleading routine before the match during his entrance, kayfabe, you can argue that it gassed him before the match.
Yeah, they didn't have the longest of any of the TNT Open Challenge matches.
No, it was not. But it was good. It was really good. Sunny showed off a lot of lucha skills, a lot of head scissors takedowns that were really impressive. Hit a crossroads in there, I believe. And for as much flex Sunny caught on social media leading up to that, for as strong as Sunny handled it on social media as well, Sunny showed up, presented, and did a fantastic job in that spot, I feel like. And we didn't give any time to give flowers to that match.
No.
And just what that kind of meant more so than just the match in the ring, but also just socially. Because it has been known that AEW does not do intergender matches. So Sunny is very much in the men's division. Mm-hmm. It was a great match. And it was just, you know, I did call it too that you were going to see a lot more heel Cody in that match, and you did.
Mm-hmm.
The TNT Championship has been, I feel like, one of probably the most prestigious title so far in AEW since it's been introduced, because with Moxley being gone for most of the past month, that was the most prominent title on the show.
Absolutely. The main event spot, which Jericho versus Orange Cassidy for a few weeks in a row, but every week I really look forward to the TNT Championship because there's something that reminded me about what Cody said back when they were presenting AEW to what is this to the fans. And he said, I want AEW to be the Ellis Island of wrestling, where every type of wrestling is allowed and encouraged and loved. And you see this with the deathmatch wrestlers, with Eddie Kingston. You see this with Sunny Kiss, who some people would not give a job to despite his amazing athleticism and just being a personality that people will glom onto.
Oh, how do you not love Sunny Kiss?
Yeah.
I heard Bully Ray talking on Busted Open, gushing about Sunny Kiss and how much fun he is to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that every time Sunny's out there, it's just to have fun. And in that business, if you're not there to do that one thing, why are you there? Some people do it because it is just a paycheck, but Sunny is, you can tell, is thoroughly enjoying himself. But just kind of focusing a little bit more on the TNT Championship itself.
Yeah.
So we did talk about last week, and then this past week, and then now this upcoming week. We talked about this a couple weeks back, about it being teased, because Orange straight up said, hey, how about that Warhorse kid? And now it has been brought into fruition that Warhorse will be challenging the TNT Championship this upcoming Wednesday. And Cody is healing it up to the max right now. Said that he will not last 5 minutes with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure will not be the case.
No.
Because you're talking about the independent wrestling champion right now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a more over personality in the indies right now. He is the ITW, the internet or independent IWC champion, or the, yeah, I can't remember the exact thing. I got to see him in Glory Pro in St. Louis, and he was the crowd reaction for him in the same building that Cody was actually in on that same night was like double. So he has worked not with him, but on the same card, and Cody's known about this man for quite a long time. So to see these two kind of cross paths is in a way kind of a dream match come true, because I got to see him and I was like, who is this? And then he got in the ring. And boy, he can go. He's gotten a lot better in the last 2 years since I've seen him. And this is going to be a lot of fun, especially for some of the older fans who like 80s style wrestling, who like Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, that personality, that larger than life.
So much energy.
So much.
So much energy. He rules all the ass. I'm sure you've seen some of his promos that'll cut, or his motivational speeches will cut on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I want to run through a wall. He'll cut like a minute and a half, and it'll just be like, if you're not feeling great today, just know that you're doing your best. And that's all you can do. And just,
if anybody,
it's a throwback type of character to the 80s. And it's, it's got a modern twist to it that is adapted so well, and it's so great.
If anybody's curious about the character of Warhouse, just look up on YouTube, totally free, about 10 minutes, quote unquote, documentary. It's Becoming Warhouse, and watch it before the match. And you'll know all you need to know about him going in, or even if you have to catch it after. But it is must-watch TV on Wednesday, right at 7 o'clock. And I will be there from the very start. No pre-recording. I'm going to be watching that live.
Yeah, I'm sure if they don't have their own original metal that they're already working on for him, I hope he has his own that he can bring. Mm-hmm. They might have licensing issues, but... He's very all about the metal. He tweets in all caps, like Odie Lorcan. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to not envision him and just not just yelling at somebody.
Yeah.
This TNT Championship, even though I'm still waiting for it to be finished, because it's still not done, right?
I have a feeling, I don't think anyone's confirmed this, but I just don't, Cody keeps saying, I don't really want it done. And if he doesn't really want it done, maybe this one won't happen. I think the next one, whoever takes the title, it'll be done and it'll be different. But Cody said on a couple occasions, I kind of like this one.
Because there were reports there was supposed to be some gold finishing to it.
But kinda, that's been months now.
Yeah. That was introduced at what? Was it All Out? No.
No, Double or Nothing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when he was introduced when he against Lance Archer.
Correct.
Which also, by the way, another fun segment was Lance Archer off AEW.
Is there an unfun segment with Lance Archer? He just throws people. I love it.
Yeah. So just a quick segue. The segment they had, it was backstage. You have Jake was having an interview. Then Lance Archer comes up, pulls Jake the Snake and the interviewer back with him. And they just go into a locker room, and all of a sudden, he just starts getting jumped by jobbers. And he is destroying these jobbers and the locker room in the process. And he just finished by saying, oh, while he's doing this, Jake the Snake is cutting a promo about Lance Archer's violence. And then he just finishes by saying, everybody dies. And that is it. And they can do this all the time with Lance Archer, and I'm fine with it.
Every match he's had, he's thrown someone into the ring from off stage. He's just great.
I think it is what every match he's had, he's thrown somebody at his opponent.
Yes, yes.
He's just extremely big. He's extremely violent. And it's amazing he didn't end up under Vince's house.
Yeah. He's the ideal Vince guy. Like, the big man.
Not, though. What they're letting him do in AEW is really, I thoroughly enjoy it.
That's true.
Apparently someone that's not having fun in AEW, though, reported that Matt Hardy's a little bit frustrated with that. Part of it is because circumstantial, because there's no fans.
Sure.
But also part of it is because he had plans of things that didn't necessarily get to come through. He mentioned that he had a program going for Sammy Guevara, which the plug got pulled on because Sammy was suspended, which he returned this week. Might be able to see where that goes. But yeah, he mentioned that he was frustrated with his current spot in AEW, and you can kind of understand, because when he got brought in originally, it was so much fanfare. And now you can argue some of it is due to lack of fans, but yeah, he's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit.
Yeah, and he wanted the creative freedom and feel like the stuff he pitched would happen and matter. And while no one's fault, that hasn't happened on a couple occasions. But I feel like AEW will continue to use him, and he will get a program, because if there's one thing Tony Khan is, he's patient. And that's something that's extremely rare with both bookers and executives combined, is he's not about the short-term payoff. He acquired Brian Cage the beginning of this year and waited because of injury to debut him for the it was the Ladder Royale match or something at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, the Casino Battle Royale Ladder.
I have faith. And right now there's a lot of just goodwill with AEW as far as, you know, doing right by their talent and doing right by their fans. So I, at this moment, I feel like AEW will do something good with Matt Hardy. Speaking of the goodwill or maybe lack thereof, there were a couple of different both SmackDown and WWE segments that led us to believe some storylines may be happening. We're going to do a little segment here where we try to predict which ones are actually going to happen and which ones are teases because WWE just likes to reference that they paid attention over the following week. So we have a few teases with Big E, Naomi, Austin Creed, maybe even Kairi Sane. Which of these teases do you believe, first of all, are you enjoying the most and hope gets pushed? And second of all, you believe is actually going to happen?
So I'm a little interested in the Creed one because as far as I understand, it's not so much WWE related, but other television related.
Right.
With the return of G4 Network coming, Austin Creed has made no secret that he wants to host.
Yeah.
And since he's still recovering and still has some time until he returns from his Achilles injury, that could very much be a possibility.
We could bring up, down to G4. Wouldn't that be amazing?
And you could do a partnership with WWE in there as well, because you can bring along everybody else. You could bring along Tyler Breeze, Adam Cole, I believe Ember Moon, I think, is game there. Everybody.
Cesaro's been...
Cesaro has been on Twitch, I believe, as well. Until he left, I think Rusev was gaming there as well. I'm sorry, Miro, or whatever he's going by now. That'd be really interesting as far as another potential revenue route for the WWE. Because the one thing that I think the thing that made me appreciate Creed more as a wrestler has been the nerd factor.
Yeah.
The whole crossover they did with the Elite. They actually had the New Day versus the Elite. Granted, it was a gaming convention. But that happened, and most of that is due to Austin Creed's just passion for video games.
He had Kenny Omega he was facing off with, right?
That was it was a feud with Kenny Omega, and it's hard to think any other time that Austin Creed has that much passion on camera. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Moving on to another member of the New Day, Big E. Was told explicitly by Kofi Kingston, it's your time now.
Yeah, Kofi is going to be on the shelf for the next couple weeks. And he told Big E something that I think any actual fan of the New Day has probably secretly wished for, that if they were to ever break up, the one person they were most excited for a singles run, would it be Big E? I'm one of those people. I think he'd be fantastic as a singles competitor, and this would be the time to see that happen. Because they set it up with Kofi coming out of, or still actually still in the trainer's room, saying that I'm going to be on the shelf for a couple weeks, and this is the time for Big E to go. Not like leave the New Day, but to show what he can do by himself. Because when he was in NXT, he was booked so strong. People down for a 3 count. It was a 5 count.
Yeah, the big ending in NXT was actually a big ending. He made sure that everyone knew he won and he dominated his opponent.
He would count with the ref. They would count to five.
Yeah. I think the last time I felt like WWE had a chance to pull the trigger on him, and this is a long time ago, because he's been with the New Day for a long time. So there hasn't been a lot of singles wrestling. But when he was with Dolph and AJ, and he was the enforcer character, he always seemed like he was, you know, WWE makes the enforcer as like a future single star. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You have Ezekiel Jackson backing up Brian Kendrick. And then you have more things like, you know, Batista being more of an enforcer role. And we'll judge which one was more successful. I'm sure 10 years down the road, Ezekiel Jackson will come back and make his grand return.
Big Rick.
Big Rick, yes. but Big E is a talented wrestler, great personality. I think people forget that he is a really, really good promo as well. Not like, you know, spectacular as well as like, you know, maybe Kenny Omega or something, but he has talent. Everybody in WWE has to be able to promo for themselves because nobody is allowed to have a manager or an agent or a talking voice for them except for Brock Lesnar. So you are pretty dependent in the singles era to talk for yourself, even if it is, albeit with some writers attached to it.
Yeah, and they've even said on their podcast that they don't really use the writers that much. Fantastic. Themselves, the New Day.
Yeah.
That, like, they'll have something pitched to them and they'll kind of take it and, like, ah, I don't know about that.
I'm very happy to know Bootio's wasn't a writer's thing.
Yeah, I mean, how could it, though? Really?
Exactly.
How, I'm sure a writer didn't pitch Kofi Kingston chucking pancakes to people in the third. A lot of that is them, and I think that's why it's been so over. Speaking of over, I feel like another thing that has been teased, more so by us than WWE, is Kairi Sane's time in WWE being over.
Yeah.
And that's something that has kind of been alluded to a couple times. She had mentioned that on camera that a dream for her would be to face Asuka for the WWE Women's Raw Women's Championship. The only way that happens would be for Asuka to not only win this upcoming match tomorrow, but Kairi would need to get a match in that time frame. I'm not sure if that's going to happen because it has been very much heavily reported that she is going to be on her way out. They did do 2 weeks of tapings last week. So this...
I mean, do we have one more?
No, they did last week and then this week.
Oh, so, I see.
So this very well could be it. It's just a matter of how it happens. Mm-hmm. A couple of ways it could go. It could be Asuka doing the honors herself. It all something we talked about, Shayna Baszler coming through and just destroying Kairi to the point where she can no longer be on television. Mm-hmm. That's one of the other things that were teased. And honestly, I mean, we'll get to it a little bit later, but that's one of the ones I feel like more likely is going to happen. But you had mentioned Austin Creed. We did mention that. And then there was one other one you had in mind.
For me, I think this is the one you're referencing, but Naomi, is that what you're thinking of? Yeah, Naomi, really a groundswell of support has come over the last couple weeks. It just really how much she's been overlooked, not just by WWE talent, but kind of the fans have forgotten about her in a little bit, but previous to this week. She has had some incredible matches. Thank goodness she separated from her partner that was attached to the Funkasaurus. I can't imagine a worse gimmick to be stuck with. You remember
Maybe
that?
Maybe the return.
No, it's not real. It's not real. They've
been teasing that on Twitter.
Yeah.
There have been chats between Naomi and Carmen on Twitter, but.
Okay.
Moving on.
As long as the Funkasaurus doesn't come back, I'm okay with that. I think it was great for kids and it was entertaining, but it's more of a distraction than, Anyway.
Vince just wants to use somebody call my mama.
Yep.
I'm not mad at that. If you know what's about to get in, that's good.
Yeah. Naomi is a very good talent. She has a moveset that is fun and unique. And I mean, with all the women that have been pushed over the last 5-6 years, why hasn't Naomi's name and number been called? And I think, yeah.
I was going to say she's probably one of the most athletic women in the roster, either Raw or SmackDown.
Easily. If you look at her compared to the other women, they're twigs. For the most part, they are twigs.
She's kind of become the Kofi Kingston of the Women's Royal Rumble as well.
Yeah.
As far as herself, I think she had the barrier walk this past year. And she you know, they get, she did get a women's title reign. Mm-hmm. She blew on the SmackDown women's belt, which was great, which was fun. She got a huge ovation at this year's Royal Rumble when she came back.
Yeah, that was great. That
was fantastic. I feel like this would not have been brought on screen if it wasn't for Booker T. And I don't know what Booker was doing. Booker, clearly, he participates in the programming, but he doesn't watch it.
No.
Because he's saying that you have to earn your spots. He knows damn well that Vince doesn't give women spots.
Yeah, I don't even know what he's referencing.
Did he not know that she had a title run?
Apparently I forgot that too, so I'm going to give him a little bit of credit.
I know it happened. I could have dreamed.
No, it happened. It happened. It definitely happened.
She had the glow belt.
Yeah, she did. I'm going to give him a little pass, but Booker T on occasion doesn't know where he is. I think that's almost his gimmick sometimes on commentator booth.
But like, does Booker not remember WrestleMania 19?
So how many years ago was Booker?
Okay. But that was still the same amount of years for all of us, but I still remember the terrible buildup to that.
Yeah.
And one Paul Levesque telling Booker T that people like you aren't supposed to be champion.
Yeah.
And then the pedigree that lasted for 45 seconds before a cover came and still there was a 3 count. You know, a buildup like that does not end with a heel win, but it did because that was the peak reign of terror. But apparently Booker doesn't remember that.
No, everything in the WWE, either intentionally or not, is kind of forgotten the next week, whether that's booking, whether that's storylines, whether that's even championships. They've been thrown along the wayside, and it really makes the winnings feel less important and the titles feel less important, and therefore the stars have less staying power.
Oh, yeah, and that's not good for anybody. I like in the business or on the roster, like that's not good for anybody's job. And it's even harder so to get that kind of staying power when you keep bringing back these old names instead of building up newer names, like, I don't know, Naomi. Mm-hmm. I wonder if some of it could be because I forget which Uso she's married to. Is it Jimmy?
I'm afraid to say because I am in the same
boat. Yeah, I know she's married to someone that looks like him. It's not him.
That's great.
but with the Usos currently being on the shelf with injury issues.
Right.
I don't know if that hurts her in any way, even though she's been kept apart from him booking wise.
It shouldn't.
No, it really shouldn't. And I know it's tough for any woman to get light because it seems like any angle in the women's division involves Bayley and Sasha for some reason. I mean, they're great. I love the golden role models, but they're on every show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their fingers in every women's division, which I guess comes with the territory. But they have all the gold, so literally any storyline involves them. For some reason, they can't have a women's storyline that doesn't involve a championship. So I guess if they're not in that conversation, like Naomi, they don't have a say. They don't have anything for them. The fact they had that karaoke thing set the whole women's division back 20 years, I feel like.
I feel like we say that at least once a year, unfortunately, though. There's always tough. One segment.
And they just announced they were going to do a second Evolution pay-per-view.
Okay. I mean, good, first of all, but let's not have it stop there. Let's continue to, I don't know, use this incredible talent we got. Because I'm going to be honest, I love AEW, and I usually prefer them more over WWE, but the division is so much deeper in WWE for women. I mean, you have Hikaru Shida, you have Nyla Rose, you have a couple others. Do you include the first ever AEW champion who hasn't been on the show in a long time? Do you include Bea Priestley? No.
Yeah, because half the talent at the beginning when they started aren't really available right now.
WWE is much, much deeper for women's talent than AEW. How about highlight that?
However, I have more faith in Kenny Omega booking a women's division than the rest of WWE staff.
Absolutely.
Is publicly in charge of the women's division.
Absolutely.
And I know people have for some reason called him out for overall programming of the show for the women's division not getting a big enough slice of the pie through the rest of the roster, which you make an argument for, and apparently they've now announced the 16 women's tournament.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
I think it's going to be AEW tag women, women's tag.
Yeah, it's a women's tag cup is how they phrased it. There's going to be 8 teams of 2. We don't really know any of the teams yet. But I
name one, I'm sure. Right. Brandi Rhodes and Ali.
Yes, so the Nightmare Sisters. You're going to see people like Anna Jay. You're going to see people, obviously Nyla Rose will take one scrub and just drag them across the finish line with her.
They'll probably tag with Vicky.
Oh, actually, that's great.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun to do. You have Dynamite and Ibelis.
Yeah.
They had a great match, actually.
Maybe we'll see Mel and somebody else of that infamous Nightmare Collective that Brandi said all those months ago, it's not, their story isn't done. But we haven't seen anything from the Nightmare Collective unless you count Luther.
Not Mercedes never mind.
Yeah.
The newest member of the Robert Stone brand, actually.
Yeah.
Mercedes Martinez. Also, is the Robert Stone brand a shot at Tony Khan?
I never know with Vince, because I don't know. Let's just look at the couple stories we have. First of all, let's just go with what do you think is going to happen? Simple yes or no. Do you think Kairi Sane is going to get some kind of payoff? Or will she fade away into the dust?
If she's gone. I don't know if it's some kind of some kind of payoff. If you mean some kind of payoff as like a title match?
No, I just mean that they're actually going to correctly write her off of story with an injury. That's my bar.
I don't know. I think something's going to vaguely happen to her and you're just not going to see her.
No, you think it's going to be like a 2-minute backstage segment or something?
Something will happen in the match with Sasha.
Okay.
But I don't know if – I hope she gets to go out in the blaze of glory. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Okay, I'm going to say no then.
Yeah.
All right. Bit of more fun one. Will Austin Creed get to host at least one show with G4?
I hope so. He has the time to now. I think now is the time for it to happen. So yeah, let's say
he has appeared on a bunch of different YouTube channels. His collaborations have spread all across the internet, and G4, if nothing else, is very social media savvy. Even back when they first debuted, was there even a lot of Twitter? Like, cause it was a while back. I don't even think so.
No. And then they shut down. And then the host dated Aaron Rodgers, but they just broke up, didn't they?
Aaron Rodgers just broke up with
Danica Patrick. My bad.
Yeah, that Aaron Rodgers, man, another show. I think we'll talk about that or something like that. But, you know, we have a lot of different podcasts going here on Clocker Sports. So maybe that'll be addressed in due time. But how about Big E, do you think he gets a significant singles push? This doesn't mean a title. This means a legitimate storyline they stay with and they complete. They don't pull the plug like a Ricochet or a Shorty G.
Well, that just really depends on Vince.
Sure.
I'm going to say yes, and it completes with the New Day coming back together when Xavier comes back.
Okay.
But yeah, more so that's just me being wishful, but yeah, I'm going to say yes.
I'm pretty optimistic. I'm going to say yes. All right. So the final one was Naomi getting some kind of singles push of her own. How do you feel?
No.
No?
No.
You just don't think WWE's going to pull the trigger on that?
No, because their only focused right now is anything that has to do with Sasha and Bayley. That's it. That's all they're focused on, because they have all the gold and they don't have time for a women's storyline that doesn't involve titles.
Okay. I think I was on the fence, but because I want it so bad. Naomi's just been so much fun for so many years, but I think you're right. I'm going to say we unfortunately have to finish that segment with a double no.
I hope that one happens, but I just don't see them putting in the time for that. I mean, it took... It would have to take something extraordinary for something that's outside of Bayley and Sasha to be relevant in the women's division. Mm-hmm. And Kairi Sane's the one that's going to be out the door. So I feel like if either of those happen, it's going to be Kairi over Naomi.
Okay.
We'll know more tomorrow night.
Yeah, there's actually a lot to look forward to this coming week with WWE, AEW. And yeah, obviously there's a new BTE every week. There's new podcasts dropping, new shoots, new interviews. And Warhorse is going to have his title match on TNT. Please watch that if you watched nothing else this week from an AEW mark, for what that's worth.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the Falls Count Anywhere match.
Oh, my goodness.
The super kick up the escalator.
There were so many great moments in that match.
Yeah. Apparently, there have been a lot of injuries reported now, though.
Just from that match alone?
Both the Bucks got hurt. Not just that match, but just AEW in general.
Okay.
Someone just got concussed. Yeah, it's everyone just got banged around a lot.
Yeah.
I believe
Griff Garrison, the guy that everyone thinks is Jungle Boy.
Griff Garrison got hurt.
No.
Someone said that he looks like Edge, I think.
I've heard Edge, I've heard Griff Garrison, I've heard. Yeah, but it's more Edge from like 15 years ago anyway.
Like debuting.
Yeah. Anyway, there's so many things to sort out over the next week or so, and we will be back next week. Any final thoughts before we sign on out?
No, not really. I mean, unless this is the final sign off for Kairi Sane, we're going to salute the Pirate Princess.
Absolutely. She's been a treasure. No pun intended, or maybe. Well, yes, so from all of us here at No Count Out Soon Pod, be sure to listen to the show. You know, give us some feedback. You got something you want to say to us, find us online, find us on Twitter. You can contact me at @M_Broski. You can contact Tyler at @T_Pearson, 10-4, the numbers 10, the letters FOUR. There you go. Please follow.
If you're super old school, there's an email too. There's a nocountoutspod@gmail.com.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Leave the show an email. Yeah, absolutely.
You have to have an email for the Twitter account to get it signed up officially. So yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. We are very much out here in these social medias. So give us a shout out if you have any fantasy booking ideas that you'd like to talk about. I would love to hear it because I'm sure it's more creative than the entire team they have over there in Bristol.
Could be. Well, from all of us, thank you for listening and stop by next week. Have a good night.